once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Cheltimer, my co-host Chris Cameron, who is also our sound editor, and our guest this week, Katie Hoogendam. Each week at this time, we visit with a local or regional author or other persons involved with writers and readers. We ask our guests to introduce us to their work and to read for us. We get a glimpse into their lives and find out what inspires them, what prompts them to write. And we're delighted to have Katie Hoogendam with us today. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie is a writer, artist, educator, and communications specialist. Her past vocations include high school teacher, copy editor, and radio host and producer. She remains professionally and personally concerned with the environmental issues and educational theory and practice. Spirituality, faith, feminism, and identity are ongoing topics of interest for her, and she is inspired in these areas by Jungian thought and mythologies of all stripes. Katie holds a BA in Communications and English, a B.Ed in Secondary Education, and an MA in English and Film Studies. Outside of writing and homeschooling her two children, she works in the field of sustainability and renewable energy. Katie writes poetry, essays, creative nonfiction, and tried her hand at drama last year. Her first play, Plan X, was produced at Spirit of the Hills Festival of the Arts 2019. Katie, recently you've published a number of essays and nonfiction pieces in online magazines. What inspires these?
A few years ago, between my teaching stints, I took some time off just to focus on writing and kind of to get my bearings as a human being in my late 20s. And at the time, I knew a couple folks who were running a literary magazine out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And they knew my work and they asked if I would be a columnist. So I started doing that every couple of weeks and I loved it. It's an easy gig where your opinion is printed basically no matter what. And that was sort of my first foray into writing consistently and in a sort of essay, creative nonfiction format. So that's where I got the bug.
And what did you write about?
That magazine was specifically about the intersection of art, life, and faith. It was a Christian, sort of progressive Christian literary journal. So I would sort of respond to culture through a different lens, you know, the lens of faith.
Now, you've also published your poetry in journals, and your first chapbook, Mother Tongue, was released in 2018. You read at the Coburg Poetry Workshop's Third Thursday this last summer. Mm-hmm. So do you think of yourself primarily as a poet?
I think it's funny because oftentimes in when people write their bios, they write author, poet, or writer, poet, as if it's a separate sort of thing. Like, woman, mother, you know, whatever. Stripper, you know, whatever. I think it's of one and the same thing, but I think it's interesting as a human being to sort of think, oh, poetry, prose, you know. But I don't know. I think of myself primarily as a writer, I suppose, someone who needs to respond to the world in writing. But I've loved poetry for a long time.
Well, most recently, your poem Courage was shortlisted for Room Magazine's poetry contest in 2019. So tell us about the poem Courage.
When I was invited to do the Third Thursday reading, I started to put together some poetry that had a thematic thread. And then I realized these could really, they really do make sense together. So why don't I start compiling my next chapbook? And I had just written this poem sort of sitting on my front stoop looking out at, you know, the forest. And really it was sort of the cornerstone of what I was trying to get at, that idea of courage. And that became the title, the working title of this chapbook that I've made an artist's proof sort of, but I'm still putting it together. And I guess it is sort of the anchor to the selection of poems, the collection that I put together.
Okay, so it's nearing completion, but you also have another new poetry project, I believe,
yes,
called Flesh and Blood.
Yes, it's a little different from that other one. Totally different. And actually, I've been thinking a lot about these two collections over the past week and wondering if maybe there's a marriage in there. If maybe it's almost like flesh and spirit or something. If courage is more the intellect and flesh and blood is literally, you know, the body. So I'm trying to figure out whether or not they make sense to put together. But yeah, flesh and blood is definitely, it makes me nervous. I feel like maybe I should use a pseudonym when I put these out there. So yeah, I'm nervous about it, but I think it's a good thing. And I think it feels like a bigger project, and I'd like to involve other artists in it. And then I already have started to do that, to do some collaboration with them. So yeah.
Well, that's interesting, because if it makes you uncomfortable, it means it's honest.
Something like that, yeah. It is honest.
Well, perhaps you would read to us. Are you going to read from Courage or another piece?
Sure, sure. Yes, I brought Courage, the poem itself, from the collection I put together. So I'll read that. And I also brought Flesh and Blood. We'll see what happens. Courage. Never write a poem when you have something to say, they say, though a red-winged blackbird just flew past, and a dried leaf from last autumn's arboreal dress rehearsal dances along the path right in front of you. And now a crow calls high in the jack pines, and the woodpecker, who has been attacking the internet pole, has found a new door on which to knock. Soon you look up from your writing to discover the elusive goldfinch, who has recently uncovered your birdseed, his wings flashing before you like a toothy smile, an unexpected gold molar. Never write when you have something to say, except silence, like loneliness, is an illusion, our ears packed full of cotton or our eyes sewn shut because early on we heard too much or we saw more than we thought we could bear. But in this particular moment, this one, right now, a little girl pedals by on her bicycle, and you catch one soft note of her sing-song. And then a chickadee, too, sings out, celebrating her own name. And in a moment of courage, you do the same.
So what inspires your poetry? What themes keep coming out in your poetry?
I think, like every human being, and probably anyone who's felt driven to put pen to paper, it's always trying to figure out what exactly it means to be human. For me, I'm always wondering about what it means to be a woman here on Earth, recently a daughter, a mother, but what it means to inhabit this space. Flesh and Blood is a lot about female power, and I know that kind of can become a cliche in and of itself, but this essence, you know, that Kali essence, the goddess Kali, what does it mean to harness that? Why does it scare so many people? Why are we often, as women, afraid of our own power? So I'm grappling with that always, but in particular at the moment.
In your poetry?
In my poetry, yeah.
Do you have a poem that speaks to that?
Yeah, I sure do. Fluency. As a woman, you must learn to speak in tongues. First, the tongue of your father after eating, the way he wipes the words from his mouth as if they meant nothing. You must learn to translate this into mother tongue, the tongue that licks the end of the cigarette before bringing it slowly past her teeth to rest in the softness of her palate. This translation is not easy, and worse, no one is looking for a translator. Next, you must learn to transcribe the ghosts. This is difficult, as they tend to commune in whispers and obscure phrases and always at most inopportune times. I suggest you carry a notebook with you, as they are most likely to speak when you are least likely to listen. Finally, you must learn to take down what the world dictates. This is perhaps the hardest thing, because she is slick and fire-tongued, with no patience or consideration for anyone, especially she, the writer, who attempts to write her, to chronicle her into oblivion. I like to play with the word oblivion a lot, and you heard it in the last poem. This is called Folding Laundry, and it's kind of funny. And true. Folding Laundry. When I was 7, I confused the word vagina with oblivion. Folding laundry, Mom laughed heartily and dug through her curio and handed me her mirror and dictionary, gynecology and etymology. Pressed close to her body, I folded into her belly, where language has a language of its own.
Well, thank you, Katie. We've been speaking with Katie Hogendam about her writing of all kinds, and in particular in this segment about her poetry. And now we'll take a short break.